Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkup. Today we'll examine chapter 44 of Sefer Yirmiyahu. In the previous chapter, Yirmiyahu forewarned the newly arrived Jews to shun the pagan practices of Egypt. In chapter 44, Yirmiyahu addresses the various settlements of migrant Jews who had arrived much earlier, fleeing the war in their homeland. These Jews had already begun acclimating to Egyptian culture. Hadavar asher haya al Yirmiyahu el kol haYehudim hayoshvim be'eretz Mitzrayim hayoshvim b'migdol u'betach Panches u'venof u'be'eretz Patros lemor. This word came to Yirmiyahu concerning all the Jews living in Lower Egypt, those settled in Migdol, Tachpanches, and Memphis, and in the land of Patros. There is historical evidence of Jewish communities in Egypt established at least a century before the Churban. Some historians speculate that the first to settle in Egypt were refugees who fled Menashe's vicious persecution of faithful Jews. They were followed by Jews colluding with Egypt in a rebellion against the Babylonian expansion into the Levant, and later by those escaping the horrific siege and destruction of Mamlechet Yehuda. Some fled southwards to avoid the forced exile to Babylon. Yirmiyahu was sent to address this amalgam of immigrant communities, warning them to avoid the mistakes made by the Jews and their leaders in Yerushalayim, in verses 2-3. Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, אתם ראיתם את כל הרעה אשר הבאתי על ירושלים ועל כל ערי יהודה, והינם חורבה היום הזה, ואין בהם יושב מפני רעתם אשר עשו להכיסני. ללכת לקטר, לעבוד לאלוהים אחרים אשר לא ידעום, הימה, אתם ואבותיכם. As he traveled across the Egyptian landscape, Yirmiyahu was shocked that so many Jews had already adopted local customs and beliefs. He found that they were all too quick to shed their particularity and were eager to blend into the population. In verses 7 through 10, he admonishes, Ve'ata koh amar Hashem Elokei Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, Lama atem osim ra'a gdola al nafshotechem lahachrit lachem ish ve'isha, olel ve'yonek mitoch Yehuda, לבלתי הותיר לכם שארית. להכיסני במעשה ידיכם, לקטר לאלוהים אחרים בארץ מצרים, אשר אתם באים לגור שם. למען הכרית לכם, ולמען היותכם לקללה ולחרפה בכל גויי הארץ. השכחתם את רעות אבותיכם ואת רעות מלכי יהודה? ואת רעות נשיו, ואת רעותיהם, ואת רעות נשיכם אשר עשו בארץ יהודה ובחוצות ירושלים? לא דוקאו עד היום הזה, ולא יראו ולא הלכו בתורתי ובחוקותיי אשר נתתי לפניכם ולפני אבותיכם. Now this is what Hashem of hosts, the God of Israel, says. Why do you commit great evil against your own souls, in order that you cut man and woman, infant and suckling, out of the midst of Yehuda, leaving yourself no remnant? Why provoke my anger by your handiwork, burning incense to other gods in Egypt, where you have come to live? You destroy yourselves and become a curse and an object of derision among all the nations on earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness committed by your ancestors and by the kings and queens of Yehuda and the wickedness committed by you and your wives in the land of Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim? To this day they have not humbled themselves or shown reverence, nor have they followed my law and the decrees I set before you and your ancestors. Radak notes the emphasis on the Judean king's wives, who introduced idolatry into the palace and made it fashionable to have superstitious fetishes alongside worship of Hashem. Abarbanel, who witnessed the forced conversion of Spanish and Portuguese Jewry, notes that the refugees in Egypt were no longer afraid of the Chaldeans and were not compelled to abandon their religion. Since their lives were not on the line, Yirmiyahu accuses them of spite, a perverse desire to provoke Hashem's anger, lehachis. Yirmiyahu warns the Jews in Egypt that they are bringing about their own annihilation, either through assimilation or through violent persecution, as Hashem pledges in verses 12 through 14. ולקחתי את שארית יהודה, אשר שמו פניהם לבוא ארץ מצרים, לגור שם, ותמו כל בארץ מצרים. ייפולו בחרב, ברעב, ייתמו מקטון עד גדול, בחרב וברעב ימותו, והיו לעלה, לשמה, וכללה ולחרפה. ופקדתי על היושבים בארץ מצרים, כאשר פקדתי על ירושלים, בחרב, ברעב ובדבר. ולא יהיה פליט ושריד לשארית יהודה, הבאים לגור שם בארץ מצרים. ולשוב ארץ יהודה, אשר המה מנסים את נפשם, לשוב לשבת שם, כי לא ישובו, כי אם פליטים. I will take the remnant of Yehuda, who were determined to go to Egypt to settle there. They will all perish in Egypt. They will fall by the sword or die from famine. From the least to the greatest, they will die by sword or famine. They will become a curse, a horror, an object of derision and of reproach. I will punish those who live in Egypt as I had punished Jerusalem, by the sword, famine, and plague. There will be no remnant or escapee of Yehuda who went to live in Egypt, in return to the land of Yehuda for which they long to return and to live there. None will return, except a few fugitives. Rashi indicates that this prophecy was fulfilled when a few righteous Jews that had remained faithful to their heritage were returned to the land of Israel during the Babylonian conquest of Egypt in the 27th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, as described in the 27th chapter of Yechezkel. Yirmiyahu's audience then responds with extraordinary audacity in verses 15 through 18. ויענו את ירמיהו כל האנשים היודעים כי מקטרות נשיהם לאלוהים אחרים. וכל הנשים העומדות קהל גדול וכל העם היושבים בארץ מצרים בפטרוס למור. הדבר אשר דיברת אלינו בשם השם איננו שומעים אליך. כי אסון נעשה את כל הדבר אשר יצא מפינו לקטר למלכת השמיים והסך לה נסחים, כאשר עשינו אנחנו ואבותינו, מלאכינו ושרינו בערי יהודה ובחוצות ירושלים, ונסבל לחם, ונהיה טובים, ורעה לא ראינו. ומן אז חדלנו לקטר למלאכת השמיים, והסך לה נסחים, חסרנו כל, ובחרב וברעב תמנו. Then all the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other gods, along with all the women who were present, a large assembly, and all the people living in Lower and Upper Egypt, said to Yirmiyahu, "We will not listen to the message you have spoken to us in the name of Hashem. We will certainly do everything we said we would. We will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and will pour out drink offerings to her, just as we and our ancestors, our kings and our officials did in the towns of Yehuda and in the streets of Yerushalayim. Then we had plenty of food and were well off and suffered no harm. But ever since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out libations to her, we lost everything and have been perishing by sword and famine." Melechet HaShamayim is interpreted by some as God's creations, the stars and the heavens. Abarbanel, however, identifies this as the cult of the female counterpart to the Molech, or the sun god. She is the queen known as Ishtar in Babylon, Isis in Egypt. Apparently the women had taken the lead in apostasy, but would not let their husbands off the hook. וכי אנחנו מקטרים למלכת השמיים ולהסך לנסחים, או מבלדי אנשינו עשינו לה כוונים להעצבה והסך לנסחים? When we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out libations to her, didn't our husbands know that we were making cakes impressed with her image and poured libations to her? Balbim clarifies their rationalization. During the reign of Ahaz and Menashe, when the pagan cults became normative in Mamlechet Yehuda, no evil befell them. Whereas after the religious reformation initiated by Yoshiyahu, then the troubles began. The Jews in Egypt did not deny that Hashem was the sole creator. Instead, they believed that the sun and the moon are forces that Hashem put in this world. By worshipping these intermediaries, they can bring down prosperity and plenty. Finally, the women argue that they are merely following the traditions long established by their ancestors and codified by the kings and officials of Yehuda. Such is repeatedly described in Tanakh, including in Melachim Bet, chapter 21, where it relates that Menashe undid his father's reforms. He built again the high places which Chizkiah, his father, had destroyed. And he set up altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Achav, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the host of the heavens and served them. And he built altars in the house of Hashem, of which Hashem said, "In Jerusalem I will place my name." The Jews were unable to reconcile their habitual idolatry with the historical facts that they witnessed and must have aroused Yirmiyahu's frustration with their obstinance and perverted logic. He then reiterates Hashem's oaths that if they persist, he will remove his protection and name from them. They will no longer be Hashem's children and will never return to the land of Israel. Kol amar Hashem tzvakot Elokei Yisrael lemor, atem unshechem, v'tedabarna b'fichem uviyedeichem mileitem lemor, asor na'aseh et nedareinu, asher nadarnu lekater limlechet hashamayim ulehasech lanesachim, hakem tikimenna et nidreichem, v'asor ta'asenna et nidreichem. לכן שמעו דבר השם כל יהודה היושבים בארץ מצרים. הנני נשבעתי בשמי הגדול, אמר השם. אם יהיה עוד שמי נקרא בפי כל איש יהודה, אומר חי עד השם מלוקים בכל ארץ מצרים. This is what Hashem of hosts, the God of Israel, says. You and your wives have done what you said you would do when you promised. We will certainly fulfill the vows we made to burn incense and pour libations to the Queen of Heaven. Go ahead then, do what you promised, keep your vows. But hear the word of Hashem, all you Jews living in Egypt. I swear by my great name, says Hashem, that no one from Yehuda living anywhere in Egypt will ever again invoke my name or swear as surely as Hashem, the judge, lives. Hashem will let them witness the destruction of their communities when Nebuchadnezzar conquers Egypt. The Jews in Egypt will perish by the sword and famine until they are all destroyed. Those who escape the sword and return to the land of Yehuda from Egypt will be very few. Then the whole remnant of Yehuda in Egypt will know whose word will stand, mine or theirs. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.